Let us be seated, please. During right after the scripture was being read, and Daryl saw most likely what the topic would be dealing with, I guess he chose that song to make sure that the sermon wasn't very long. So God has blessed us again. He has gathered us here this day to give all glory and honor and praise to him, for our God is worthy for everything we give him because he has been so good to us. And I want us to keep that in mind even as we go into our lesson this morning, just how wonderful God is to us. It's so good to see all that are here visiting with us today, and especially we're always glad to see our own family, but it's good to see those that are visiting with us from out of town, and just so glad to have you. As usual, you are like just an extended part of our family here, and we're just so grateful to see you today. We are thankful for all of God's wonderful blessings, but I wanted to hold out until the announcements, but I just got to give glory and honor and praise to God. I love the Word of God because the Word of God changes lives and makes a difference in the lives of so many people. We have a new brother in Christ with us today, and so we're just so elated and he's with us. If you don't mind, Tim, would you please just stand up so everybody will meet your new brother, Brother Tim Spurlock. And Tim comes to us by way of Louisiana. His wife and kids, his family is out of town this weekend down in Louisiana, and he stuck around. And last week he was here with us, and he's visited with us on a few occasions, and he wanted to hang out. And so when you hang out with me, you know, you're going to hang out with the Word. And so we got into a very good discussion last night, and it led to him making that great confession of Christ being the Son of God. And then from that point on, he was ready to get to the water as soon as possible. And so we thank God for that and look forward to his family being back next week with him, if it's the Lord's will. Let us go now to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Beloved God, our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all of your blessings. Father, we thank you for caring for us and loving us the way that you always do. We thank you for providing for us, Father, when we are in need. And Father, we thank you for giving those things to us that, Lord, we realize we don't deserve, but you love us so much that you just show us how much you care and how much you want us to enjoy this life. And Father, we just thank you for blessing us in every way that you do. But we thank you most of all for the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. We thank you for the peace of mind. We thank you for the hope that we have in knowing that if we continue faithful unto you, that we have an eternal home in heaven. And we are thankful for just so many things. We thank you for the love that we have one for another. We thank you for just showing mercy on us when we realize that we deserve punishment, but you still show your love and your care and your mercy for us. Father, we just pray this day that as we go into your word, that all that is said, all that is done is received with the love that you sent, and that we will humbly accept those things that you desire of us, and that we will strive to live accordingly. We just thank you for this day, and we pray that all that is done will bring pleasure to you. For this is in your Son's beloved name. Amen. Will God rob a man? Everybody knows the text, and we're going to return to that text and reread it and go into just a little background of it. In Malachi 3 and 8 through 10, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough for you to receive it. There's so much in just those three verses, and really you would need to study the entire prophecy from Malachi to really understand everything that's going on here. But even as we studied from Haggai a couple of weeks ago, in the minor prophets we find great treasure. It might just be a few chapters, but don't take them lightly because there's a lot of power in them. And we find here again another situation where the children of God, after the captivity, they are still not where they ought to be. As a matter of fact, it is said that they find themselves in the same condition that they were in before captivity, that same mindset. And you know, it's funny because we talk about the goodness of God, and we even realize from time to time those things that God does to show his power, those things that God does to show his love for us, those things that God does to show his commitment to us and all that he will do, and we see these things and we take them for granted and we enjoy life, and after a while we so to speak kick God to the curb. And when we start going through our stuff, then as these people, you want to draw closer to him. Lord, have mercy, I'm going through some things. Lord, I don't know my husband. Lord, I don't know my children. Lord, my job. Lord, I can't pay my bills. I can't do this. I'm stressed out at work. I've got too much on me. I've got health issues. I've got this, that, and the other. And God comes through, doesn't he? He comes through. And then when husband is acting right, wife is quiet, I'm just showing you how the brothers think. The children are on the honor roll and staying out of trouble, and everything's going good. Nothing is going wrong on the job. Everything is rolling well. No issues. Got even a little overflow in the cash. God who? These people here being addressed by Malachi were a people who had really forgotten about God. Oh, they were going through the routines just like so many do, but they were living a life of hypocrisy. You had men that, you know, going out and getting their, finding trophy wives and leaving the wives of their youth behind. The women that stuck with them through thick and thin, and then when things got at their thickest, they pushed them away and found them some nice wives to bring pleasure to them. And these men were men who did not really care much about God. They wanted to live whatever kind of life they wanted. Just let me live, let me do what I want to do, and I'm going to go through this religious routine. And I'll be fine. The problem was, is that God knew that things wasn't going to be fine. He knew that things weren't going to be all right. And this is one of the prophecies. And as a matter of fact, we know that this is the last particular prophecy of the Old Testament. And there's this 400-year gap where there's no communication between God and the people before we get into Christ's coming. And you see a lot of condemnation of these people, and God is ready to write them off. And he begins to talk through Malachi. And he poses the question, will a man rob God? And you know, it's very interesting because God knows how we think and knows how we respond. And many times we do whatever we want to do in life, and just as long as nobody calls us on it, we'll continue on doing whatever we want to do. But when someone calls us on it, we're like, what did I do? And their response to him was, how did we rob you? And that reminds me of Christ's teaching in Matthew 25. Turn over there for a minute. It's not going to be on the screen. I said I'm going to cut out some of those scriptures and just squinch my eyes just to make sure people brought their Bibles. Matthew 25. And let's look at around. Oh, let's see. Here we go. Matthew 25. And he says, verse number 37. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, in as much as you did not do it one to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And so I look at that text and see how they say, well, when did we not do it? The same way, when did we rob you, God? Got a question. How many of us have ever been robbed? Has anyone ever been robbed by gunpoint or knife point? Okay, all right, there's a couple of us. Has anyone ever had their home broken into? Okay, you know the feeling of it. All right. The feeling of someone taking away what you worked hard for, what God blessed you with, something of great value that meant to you, and someone cared so little that they would come into your house and take what is rightfully yours that they had no business possessing. If you know that feeling, if you truly know that feeling, and I hope that anyone that has not experienced that, that you don't. But if you truly know that feeling, then you can possibly relate to how God feels when that which is His is taken away. That which is rightly his is gone. We title this message, Will God Rob a Man? Just to make us think for a minute. Just to make us think for a moment. I will answer that for you right up front. No. And you know why? Because man owns nothing. And it's God's in the first place. And if God comes back and gets it, that is not robbing you. That is repossession. And so God is just repossessing that which he has given. And look at it this way. Everything that we have, God has given it to us. Just as we said a couple of weeks ago, everything that we own, it is from God. Everything that we enjoy, it is from him, whether we acknowledge it or not. So, look at it as though, you see, I work in the credit department. Who I work. And for years I've dealt with credit, and people understand how credit works, and credit is not necessarily a good thing. I'll be upfront with it, but because most people that have problems with credit, there's an answer to why you have problems with your credit. You have problems with your credit because you live above your means. And that's just the truth. So anybody in here, if you're mad about it, just think about it. If you couldn't afford to buy it, then you couldn't afford it. Now, I understand the concept of a house. No, nobody's going to come up with $100,000, $200,000, or $300,000. But, you know, all these other little things that we put on the cards and everything, a lot of times they are unnecessary things. But that's not my point anyway. But I just want to get you to see as far as dealing with credit. Though, God, look at how and what we have in this life. What you have from God, you got it on credit. You have it on time. And God gives us things not because of what we have done, not because we're so worthy of it up front, but God gives us things and allows us to pay it back. Pay it back through our giving. Pay it back through our service. Pay it back through our commitment to Him. So what we have, God is blessing us up front with it, and God is entrusting that. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to give you some of the best things in life. Why? Because you're my child. But I am expecting a return on what I'm giving you. And what we do, some of us, what some of us do is we take it and we run with it and we don't make our return. And so what happens? If you don't pay your car note, if you don't pay your furniture note, surely if you don't pay your house note, and what do those people do? Ducking and dodging. Because you want to enjoy the blessing on one hand, but not make the payment. Now, I'm not trying to make it sound as though our giving is a payment to God, but what I am trying to get you to see, get all of us to see, is this, is that giving is very important to God's kingdom, and God doesn't need money. God needs no money. It does not impress God how much you have in your account, in your 401k, on your portfolio. That doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, if you came up in here with a wad of cash and made it rain up in here, that wouldn't impress God. What God wants, though, is this. What He has done, what He has constantly shown in faithfulness towards us, He wants us to show faithfulness back to Him to benefit the family. Now, I want to show you something. If you go back here, right here, He says, in verse 9, He said, "You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me," and then He says, "even this whole nation." When one takes away from God, you are not just taken away from Him, because God has more than we could ever imagine. But what we are really doing, we are taking away from the family. You're taking away from the household. And so we find in this particular text three individuals, and it just as Daryl led the song, it won't be very long, it probably won't. First of all, you have the victim. As I said, those that have been victims of robbery or burglary or whatever. The victim is the one that possesses and values what they have and even takes a serious pride in what they have possessed. And when someone comes in and takes it away, it's hard to understand why someone would steal something that they didn't work for. Why someone would take something that you have put so much into. And what God is looking at here, and here God is the victim. I do so much for you, and you do so little for me. So he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. If you are going to show me that I am just that less of importance to you, then I guess I'm just going to have to reciprocate. And so God, being the victim, is saying that I cannot believe that this person, had an uncle. I have an uncle that walked in from work one day, opened the door, and there, lying across the sofa, passed out from whatever, with a duffel bag full of my uncle's possessions, was a friend that had broken into the house. And my uncle woke him up and said, "What are you doing?" And the fellow didn't have much of an excuse in being strung out on whatever. And he says, "Tell me, why are you taking my things?" And as a matter of fact, this is somebody that he had given to, someone that he had helped. And they are robbing him and taking his stuff. And basically, the guy's only response was, "Well, man, you know, I just got to do what I got to do." You know, I believe sometimes God's little children, we think that we have to do what we have to do. And we don't take into consideration his goodness. We don't take into consideration the things that he has provided for us throughout life. And here's the thing. Just as I said last week, a child of God doesn't have to beg. Because the Lord said ask. A child of God surely doesn't have to steal. Because the Lord said, ask. God is ready and willing to give, but the thing is, we have to learn and we have to understand that he expects some things from us. The church cannot stand without money. And when I say that, I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the ministry. The true working of the church needs the contribution of the family. Now let me say this. Maybe you are giving what you should be giving, and guess what? It's not my job to police what you're giving. But it's God's. And if I am not giving what I ought to be giving, I'm going to have to answer to God. And look at what was said to those that had robbed God. He said, you are cursed with a curse. God, and breaking my house. Let me see how some folks are. You breaking my house and you steal my 60-inch flat screen. My Bose surround sound system. You steal my 10-carat diamond, sisters. Cursed. Will a curse. Well, that's how God is when we do not return to him. And during this time, God was asking for tithes, a tenth of what you had, not only with any earnings, but a tenth of your crops, a tenth of your cattle, your livestock. You can keep the 90%. But they weren't even doing that. And so God took issue with it. So we look at God as the victim, but now let us look at the villain. The ones that are robbing him. I'm putting all this stuff out here just for you to go home and think about it. It might not even fit you, but because I'm just putting it out there. We've got income tax coming in. I guarantee there are some that already know what you're going to do with your income tax return, and there are some people that God is either so far to the bottom of the list or not even on it. That's all right. The angels in heaven are. You see, money is just an issue that people, and surely people don't want preachers talking about it because, man, you need to go somewhere. Let me tell you something. You don't have to worry about me. I'm going to preach God's word whether you pay me $15,000 a year or $150,000 a year. It's not going to change. So, with that in mind, it's not about me. Yes, you know what? I would love to work full-time in the ministry. But you know what? Some of the same people that won't give the way that God would desire them to give would be some of the same people. Why don't our church have all these ministries and do this, that, and the other? Why don't we do it? Well, I guess your lottery ticket hadn't come through yet. Our giving, there's so much in that is needed for the kingdom of God, not just this congregation. I'm far beyond that. What we have to start understanding is that the kingdom of God needs workers, committed workers, committed servants, and funds. There are people, and not just And mind you, this is probably, and I'm just going to tell you, this is probably the most benevolent church I've ever met. And I'll go even further and say, in a respectful way, possibly even to the extent of foolishly being benevolent. And what I mean by that, and that's not any disrespect to the ones doing it, but when I say it like that, I mean we'll bend over backwards for people that we know. Don't care anything about God. And they're running a scam. And they're doing all that. But to them, they think that we're just a bunch of fools. So they're going to keep us on the list because y'all say, oh, that Church of Christ on the highway, keep them on the list. Because when all else fails, call the highway. And they'll come a giving. And we do. We give and we give. And sometimes we give what we don't really have to help people. But you know what? That's not even the most important thing. Our job here at the highway is not to eradicate poverty. You know why? Because it'll never happen. Jesus said the poor are going to be with you always. So I'm not, my job is not to eradicate poverty. My job is not to make sure everybody's lights are on either. That wasn't an issue with my great-grandfather. Candle power. But we are willing. We don't want anybody hungry. We don't want anyone naked. And we don't want people to be homeless. But those are some other things. But you know what? What's even more important is the word of God reaching people. Because you know what? You can fill bellies. You can clothe backs. You can roof heads. And they can still go to hell. They can still be lost. And that's the most important thing. Yes, and one thing about Jesus and that I loved about him, Jesus made sure that the outer man was blessed as well as the inner man. Now, there are all sorts of things needed for the kingdom to expand and grow and for us to really make an impact. We hadn't made a dent in this community. And we have some people in here with talents and abilities that you know what, if nothing else, if you can up your giving, you can up your time and say, you know what, I'm willing to put in 2 hours additional a week to the service here at the church to see what can I do in this community. But we rob God of even time. We rob God of even commitment. And so, in turn, when God sees, and let me just throw this out here, whoever might catch it, catch it. You wonder why things don't work out right in life sometime with you? Because God sees you as this. You robbing me. How easy for you to embrace the person that has stolen the things that you value. But now, I want to shift our minds from us just evaluating what am I giving to God? Am I giving time? But am I giving all that I can give from my purse? Because let me tell you something, just like over in Haggai, you have money, but you're putting money in bags with holes in it. Because see, God has a way of getting his. If you're robbing God, God will take it away. And God can take away more from us than we can ever withhold from him. God can take away even sometimes your good health. God can take away your good job. Because just like I said before, you know, God has plans for us. And sometimes God positioned you in that job because God said, now I'm going to position them in this job. And I'm going to allow them to get promoted up in this job. And they, in turn, will give back to me and bless the kingdom and make an impact on the church and make an impact on the community and make an impact on individuals' lives. And then I get up and I get promoted and I buy at least a dozen Armani suits and alligator shoes and the bling bling and all of that. And, you know, I got to be rolling in the right, you know, chariot. And I got to get my house out there, Cliff Cove or the Ledges. And then whatever's left, lint and a 20. Here you go, Lord. And then when your name is on that chopping block, on that pink slip list, and you don't understand why, sometimes, guess what? That's God. The repo man taking back what he gave you. Now, for those right now who have been whipped with guilt, God's got a remedy for you. He's got a remedy that's going to fix this issue because he's a victim. Some of us have been villains, but some of us know what it is to be the victor. Some of us know what it is to be the victor. He said, and I just got to back up to this. I just love this. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. First of all, that there might be a spiritual pantry, first of all, that will hold the waters of life, the bread of life, and everything that everybody needs in this community and around, that they can come and they can get it. Why? Because you have returned to God that which is his. And it says that there may be food in my house. And then he said, now try me now in this. Try me. You see, here's the wonderful thing about God. You rob him and he still love you. You rob me, but now I tell you what, okay, I still want to bless you. Try this out. He says, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing, that there will not be room enough for you to receive it. I plan not, even if I die tomorrow, I'll die happy, but I plan not to live a mediocre life. What God promises me, I'm going to do it. Because I want to try it. I want to see. Never been to Missouri, but I'm a native of the Show Me State. God, show me. If you say that you will do it, then I want to do it. So I'm going to give. I'm not just going to tithe, but I'm going to tithe. I'll do better. Because I want to see what you have promised. But you know what? Even if I don't live to see it, you've done it already. That's the wonderful thing about God. God has done it already. He's blessed us, and we don't even many times appreciate it. And God knows when we are struggling financially, but you know what? Be like the widow. Give your might. Give the best that you can. That's what God wants. Because don't get me wrong. The fella or the lady that writes the big check with all the zeros behind it, again, like I said, that's not what impresses God. He's looking within. Are you withholding from me because you want to buy something, or you want to upgrade something, or you want to lease that new car, or you want to do this? Are you withholding from me? Do you not realize that you are trying to lease a Honda? And if you tithe or you give what I ask, I will give you a Mercedes? We're so small-minded. And don't get me wrong, I'm not even talking the prosperity thing, even though if anybody ought to, we should. If anybody ought to, we should, but we should be doing it based upon what we're giving to God. And let me tell you something. Prosperity isn't always money, cars, clothes, diamonds, and junk. Because all of that stuff will pass on. Prosperity is a good marriage. Prosperity is good godly kids. Prosperity is living a clean life. Prosperity is fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Prosperity is reaching out and blessing other people. That's when you're prosperous, when you can go and help somebody that don't have what you have and lift them up and let them know that you got a God that can give anything. And don't worry, if my pockets are empty now, God will fill them back up tomorrow. That's what we need to know. That's the prosperity that I talk about. I don't have to live in a 19-room mansion. I don't need that. Even if somebody gave it to me, I promise you I would sell it. And get something that I could enjoy. See, I'm all about contentment. I just want to be content. I just want to be content. And live this life however much longer God has for me on this earth, because I know that I got something better on the other side. See, I'm not worried about these things. This because one day the bling bling down here is going to get rusty. It's going to lose its glitter. It's going to lose its gloss and all that, and it won't matter. Just think. You buy a new car and drive it off the lot, and it loses its value immediately. But you invest in eternal salvation, and it will last forever. So I encourage us today, let us stand. I don't know what time it is, because the clock broke. The clock is broken. See, the Lord knew when Daryl, I led that song, he said, well, cut this clock off. It doesn't matter. All I want us to do is this, is realize that what we have, first of all, God has been victimized. Some of God's children have been villainized. But we should all be victorious if we would just return to God that which is His. So, which am I? Hopefully, you're the victor. If you're not, you know what it takes to be the victor. Be prayerful about your giving. A lot of things that can be done in the Lord's kingdom. And it's like I said, if you are giving the best that you can, that's fine. And that's fine with God, and God already knows it. But some of us are still robbing God of our time. Return to Him, because I would hate if God, now God can take time away from you. And I would hate to know that God took somebody's time away from. And we don't know how much time we have. I hear people, you know, yes, Whitney died and she was 48 years old. And people say she died too soon. How do you know? She came into this world to die on the day that she died. God already knew the day that she was going to leave this world. Don't say that somebody died too soon. That's not for me to call. But sometimes that might be the case when we rob God of our time. Then maybe he does take some of yours away from you. So I just encourage us, don't look at this as a money sermon. This is a sermon to make sure that you are returning to God that which is his. And be committed and give God the very best of what you have. Always put God at the very top of the list. You know why? Because he always puts you at the top of his list. If you're here today and you have not embraced the truth of the love of God by knowing that Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, died on the cross of Calvary for all of us, that we might one day live in the midst of the commonwealth of heaven, live in the presence of the great God that created all things and be able to walk on streets of gold. You know, that's something that tells you right there, the stuff down here means nothing. If God makes the streets gold, then he must have something even greater up there. And so don't worry about what you have down here. Learn to give more even when you've given what you were supposed to give. Like I said, it's between you and God to determine what you give. If you give generously, God knows it. And you know what? God will always give you a sign back that he saw what you gave by blessing you. And so I encourage you to do that today. But if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross of Calvary for all of us, then make a change in your heart if you have not been walking according to God's will. Confess the name of Jesus. Jesus wants to hear us call out his name, that he is the Son of God. And he said that he will confess us before his Father in heaven. And then be buried in the watery grave of baptism to rise in the newness of life and commit your life to being used by God until God calls you home. If there's one here today that needs prayer, if you need a blessing today, if you need encouragement and if you need to be uplifted, let us know as we together sing the song of invitation.